Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. Right now, it seems everyone who's got a pasture or a crop suitable for baling is out on their tractors making hay or silage. And I have to say, I really do like fodder conservation. To me, being able to conserve pasture or crops and use it to top up a feed shortfall later in the year makes a lot of sense. Storing fodder can also be a pretty cost-effective way to undertake supplementary feeding when you compare it to purchasing in other supplements and transporting them to the farm. In my mind, I like options that offer a chance to be more efficient and utilise on-farm resources first. So making hay or conserving silage is always something I get really excited about. I've spent a lot of time in the last 20 years talking to farmers about getting the most from their hay or from their silage. Even though both silage and hay are commonly fed on farms throughout Australia, I've found that farmers don't always consider the best way to use them and how they might include hay or silage in their programs. So I thought it's definitely worth spending some time to touch up on a few basics around fodder, how to use it, and things to keep in mind about using it when you're looking to feed your livestock. I reckon it's worth starting by asking you why you might choose to conserve fodder. There are, I guess, two approaches to fodder conservation. The first is to specifically prepare a crop or a pasture to harvest and store as either hay or silage. The other approach tends to be a bit more of an ad hoc approach, and it's often an opportunity to use excess pastures or perhaps a failed crop as a fodder source. At least that way, particularly say with a failed crop, is that it isn't totally wasted and you can get some use from it later on. The difference in these two approaches is really important. Like anything, good quality hay or silage is the result of hard work. If you've prepared your fodder source for harvesting, say you grew a loosened crop to make hay or silage, it will be of higher quality and have greater feed value than you might expect from pastures that you've turned into hay or silage as an opportunity. So my first tip is if you're going to make hay or silage, the better the quality of feed, the better the quality of fodder you will have as a result. It's important to remember that the higher the quality of fodder means that your animal performance will also be higher. If you want to look at the economics, it's actually much cheaper in the long run to make better quality fodder because the return you get on better animal performance pays for the effort you've put into making that quality. My second tip in regards to making fodder is to check the economics first. Now, I know I said a minute ago that conserving fodder on farm is often a cost-effective strategy. Well, it is if you do it right. And that means, again, thinking about the quality of the fodder you're making. If you're going to use a low-quality feed source, so something that's low in digestibility, which means that it might have a lot of dead leaf or stem, a lot of seed head in it, and that is its main bulk that you're turning into a forage source, and that means that at the end of the day, it could actually be a waste of time feeding it to livestock. Or if you do use it with your livestock, you might actually have to supplement with something else just to get some use out of it. So this means you need to plan your fodder making. Consider what you'll use and how much it will cost you to make it. And what will you do with it when you have made it? If you can answer these questions and the results are positive in terms of making fodder, then definitely go with it. But if you're a bit unsure or it doesn't stack up, then don't do it. I think it's also really important not to overstate the capacity of the fodder you're making. Cutting a pasture or a crop for hay or silage doesn't automatically make it a magic feed. If it's poor quality before you cut it, then it'll be poor quality fodder, and you have to recognise that before you get disappointed and complain that your animals didn't do any good with that feed. I have a few other tips to consider if you're making hay or silage. Make sure you cut your intended feed source at the right stage of growth. The more mature plants become, the less digestible they'll be. And this means that they'll be lower in energy, and that energy value will be lower per kilogram of feed, and as a result, will be less useful to livestock when you feed it out. Now look, I could spend a long time talking specifics about making hay or silage. Instead, what I will say is that either form of fodder conservation that you choose to make, whether it's hay or silage, you need to make sure you follow best practice by allowing the feed you've cut to either wilt or cure before you bale it or collect it for storage as pit silage. It's really important you work to best practice, because the longer you leave a cut feed source on the ground drying out, the more chance you have of the feed losing its quality through decay. The sugars in the plant will burn off, the plant will start to deteriorate, and you really start to lose a lot of feed quality while the plant is laying on the ground drying out. So you really need to get it wrapped, baled, stored as properly as you can, as quickly as you can. I guess the big thing is to not expect your conservation methods to improve the feed you've decided to make into hay or silage. Remember I said, turning something into hay or silage doesn't make it a magic feed. It's only ever going to be as good as it was when you cut it. And if you're a bit casual about the process of how you make it into hay or silage, then chances are you probably make it worse. You should also think about what potentially could be going to the bales you're making. One of the big causes of livestock deaths is due to a disease called botulism. Botulism is caused by clostridial bacteria, produces a toxin that can kill livestock very quickly. They don't need very much of it to be quite fatal. The bacteria spores that cause the disease germinate in moist, low oxygen environments like rotting carcasses or decaying organic material. Most cattle deaths in Australia from botulism are a result of cattle ingesting preformed bacteria and the toxins that they produce. And this can happen when cattle chew bones that they might find in paddocks. It's often quite common in northern Australia. But it's also equally common in intensive situations like dairies and feedlots. It's a result of decaying animal carcasses being included in rolls of hay and particularly baled up into silage bales. So have a think about what might be in the paddock. If you've any dead animals that might be in the paddock, then it's probably a good idea to dispose of them rather than let them decay and potentially end up in a fodder bale. You might want to drag them away to another part of the farm to be buried, or if it's safe, to burn them. Either way, just leaving a carcass to decay in a paddock could put your fodder at risk and, more importantly, will jeopardise the health of your livestock later on. Botulism can also be caused by poorly made silage. It's really important if you're making silage to minimise the air pockets in wrapped bales, and if you're making pit silage to seal your pits really well. Rotting organic matter, which happens when air can access the material, can create the right environment for the botulism bacteria to produce. In silage, it's often an issue if that material hasn't reached adequate acid levels of about pH 4.5 or less. And that occurs when the level of soluble sugar in grass is insufficient to produce the acid necessary to preserve the silage. Again, this comes back to your harvesting methods. You want to make sure for a start that the plants that you're cutting are at the right stage of growth. And secondly, you don't want to let that material wilt down for too long because the sugars will burn off. So this means your harvesting methods are really important. You want to make sure that you're cutting your plants at the right stage of growth. Secondly, you don't want to leave them too long on the ground wilting because as they do, the sugars in those plants will burn off. At the worst, you can make it possible for botulism to occur, which will be fatal to your livestock. And at best, you've probably just made an expensive mulch or a compost, and that's the last thing you really wanted to make. The other thing to consider about hay, and particularly silage, is that if you bale up unwanted weeds, the preservation process won't actually destroy the viability of the weed seeds. So don't think you can use silage or hay to destroy weeds. If it's hot enough to destroy weed seeds, then that means your fodder's at real risk of catching a light. And at the other end, if you're feeding a fodder that might have weeds in it, then I suggest you be prepared for weed seeds to be capable of establishing a new foothold on your pastures. So that really brings me to one of my last points about feeding out hay or silage. Just remember the time, the effort, and the money that it took you to grow the feed, to cut it, to bale it, and to store it. Every kilogram of feed you make has a dollar value that you can measure. So don't waste that feed when you actually feed it out to your livestock. There's nothing that frustrates me more than seeing a round bale dumped on the ground with half the feed being trampled into the mud, dunged on, and ruined long before it can be eaten. Some really good research is available that shows how much hay you waste by feeding it on the ground. In general, we know that wastage is anywhere from about 11 to 34% of the amount you're feeding. The research that we've done says that the more hay that you actually put out, the more you waste. So if you dump a typical 200 kilo round bale of hay or silage in front of your cattle, you can expect that around about 60 kilos of that is just going to be wasted. So add that up over a 3-month period and you'll work out just how much money you've actually thrown away. So my feeding suggestions are to put your hay or silage into racks so that cattle or sheep can access it easily without wasting it by trampling it, laying on it or crapping all over it. If you're worried about weeds, especially if it's bought in fodder source, in that case, I reckon you should try and confine your feeding to a few selected paddocks. And that way you can monitor weeds that might potentially pass through that silage or through your animals and control it that way. The last thing that I want to talk about, and I guess it's more just to reinforce my point about feed quality, is to make sure you know what you're feeding and adjust your livestock feeding program accordingly. Remember, making hay or silage doesn't turn into a magic feed, and just giving it to the animals doesn't mean that they're going to respond to this magic feed. They will respond to the quality of the feed that you've put in front of them. So if you've made it from the best feed source you can grow, you've preserved it as well as you can, you've stored it properly, then you can expect that your livestock should get really good responses from it. But if you've made it from a more ordinary pasture or a failed crop, then you really need to adjust your expectations for how well your livestock are going to do accordingly. If you are buying in hay or silage, ask some questions about the feed. I think it's worth sending a sample away for testing for feed quality, and you know then for certain exactly what the energy and protein levels are. You can send a feed test away to private laboratories. You can Google for those on the internet to find feed labs close to you. And most departments of agriculture also have feed sampling sources. So if you're in New South Wales, for example, the DPI provides a feed testing source. It's not very expensive, and it certainly will give you an indication of the quality of the feed that you have on hand. I think it wouldn't hurt you too much to do it with your own fodder as well. A test might actually help you set some benchmarks about the quality of the feed that you're actually producing and give you a bit of an idea about how well your fodder making process is. If you're buying in fodder, particularly if you're buying in silage, I think that vaccinating your cattle against botulism is a really good strategy. If you don't know what's in a bale, then I think it's a good idea to protect your cattle long before you start to feed it out. So next time you're driving around and you look at some bales of fodder, think about some of those tips. If you've got any questions about feeding hay or silage or making hay or silage, or you'd like to discuss other feeding ideas, don't forget you can always get in touch with me through my website, www.rainerag.com.au. You can send me a tweet at alrainer302. Don't forget you can also like Rainer Ag on Facebook, and you can send me a message there. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.